Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Cash Flows. I'm your host today, and every day, actually. My name's Cash Matthews, and very happy to be here on the Cash Flow Show. And good morning, Kenneth. I hope things are well in your world.
Oh, yeah. So far, so good. Got my coffee. I'm all caffeinated.
All right, man. A caffeinated Kenneth is a cool kid.
Ooh, alliteration.
And rhyming.
That's right.
Anyway, we're glad you're here today. Here on Cash Flows, we explore those meaningful questions of life. It might be business. It might be personal. It might be marketing. It could be relationship advice. But we call the pursuit of those things the good life, and we bring in people from the economy that are doing things, actually getting things done, and we have a philosophy called fire, aim, ready. And what that implies is that we take action. We're action-taking people, and you know, often you get stuck in life, and really what you need is to copy off of your neighbor, which is bad in the third grade, as I found out, but is also a great thing to do in life. So if you're somebody looking to take the next step in your life, business, relationship, health, or BMX racing career, then you're going to love the Cash Flow Show. So thank you guys for being here. And today we have an entrepreneur that we'll introduce in just a moment who helps with this thing called marketing, and we'll get around to that. But first, let's say hello to our executive presidential producer.
Whoa.
We're working on titles today.
Upgrade.
That's an upgrade. Super deluxe presidential platinum.
We probably need to talk about my pay if we're going to add all these extra
words.
Yeah,
I probably need to welcome to Kenneth.
Yeah, welcome to Kenneth. Oh, we just made it short.
Anyway, say hello to Kenneth Bauckham. Kenneth, good morning.
Good morning. How are things for you?
Dude, we're at an all-time high. I think a lot of people say stuff like that and don't really mean it. I asked a guy the other day, how's it going? And he's like, man, if I'm any better, I'd be twins.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, I don't even know what that means.
But, I'm not quite sure I know what it is.
People say the darndest things.
So my mother-in-law says she's finer than a frog's hair split three ways. And I'm like, that's a lot of work to figure out. But I guess you're doing fine.
Yeah. I can't even mentally dig into
that one takes a little bit of work.
Yeah, I have rejected that sentence.
Yeah, but you know, we're not here to talk about frog's hair. We're here to talk about entrepreneurs and business and cool things like that. And it's really important for entrepreneurs to understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're doing it. And Amen. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about business plans and mission statements, how we can do better with those.
You know, this is one of my favorite topics, really. And conversations like this are brief, where we talk about the basics. And if you want to dig in a little more, you can email us at cashflows@tulsabong.com. And we love to entertain those emails. But you know, when you start a business, there are things behind that, Kenneth, that happen. You know, first, most businesses generally start with a thought, hey, I'd like to have a business.
Yep.
I'd like to sell pie. I'd like to mow yards. Whatever your thing is, you have a thought. Then you create an emotional attachment to that idea, like, you know, I'd really like to do that. I really want to be an entrepreneur, self-employed. Then you take action, then you get results.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are looking for results right out of the chute, but I think a decent basic business plan is essential to keep you grounded during those times when it's tough. And for me, and I can only speak for myself, but our business plan began first with a mission statement. And, you know, everybody on this show is pretty much an entrepreneur or in, you know, support of entrepreneurs. And without a proper mission statement, when the times got tough, I didn't have anything to rely on. Mm-hmm. And we had taken, some time off back in 2000 and 2008 when we came back full time in the workplace. Mm-hmm. We had a mission statement, which is honor God and care for people through business. And we do that in our, you know, we want to do that in our personal life, but that became our motto, our creed. It's what hangs in the wall of our executive offices at the Solomon Group, honor God and care for people through our business. And that became what then morphed into our business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And business plans, you know, people will charge lots of money for them. Mine was very, very simple.
Yeah.
And it started on a notepad, and I think the great ones do. We started on a notepad, and I wrote down, what would you like to accomplish? You know, I know what I did for a living. I didn't have to go, I'm going to do this. in another industry. I've been in the financial industry since age 20. I'm like, I think what I want to accomplish is this. And we wrote a vision plan statement along with a business plan statement. And mm-hmm. we actually published that in a book called The Solomon Way. And I believed in it so much and still following that exact business plan. So a business plan first must be based on what it is you want to accomplish. And you can write down an income amount. You can write down, I want to change the world. I want to eliminate hunger. I want to, we had a lady in the other day. She's in the clothing business. She said her mission statement was to eliminate nakedness.
Yes,
I think that's it. I thought that was an excellent Autumn Folks. Thank you for that. That's still our winning phrase of the day. But your business plan has to have a mission statement, but then it has to have an objective. And for many people, that's just a money thing. I want to make X amount of dollars, $100,000 a year. How am I going to do that? And, you know, we wrote out, well, how do we make money? Well, we do these kinds of products and these kinds of things and charge these kinds of fees. And it really is that simple. And we said, okay, and in our first year vision plan back for 2009 was see three people a day. That was the business plan. We had an objective, make some money. We had an objective, help some people. And we had to dial it backwards from the end result to the starting line. And at the starting line, here was our business plan. Talk to three people a day that are 25 to 65 years old.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was my business plan.
That's pretty cool.
And through that morphed the Business Owners Networking Group that's obviously grown to over 10,000 people in both locations. And we see more than three people a day.
Yeah.
Still going many, many years later.
Well, so I got a quick question. So yes, on the sir. Business plan, is that something that you do one time or you keep updating that throughout the life of your company?
Oh, I modify it. I reread my business plan every morning.
Oh, you reread it?
I reread it. I wake up every morning. I pray. Yeah. Why am I here? Hey, Lord, what do I want to accomplish? And I like to, and I study it at least once a month. Like, hey, do we need to make an adjustment? I still try to talk to three people a day, 4 days a week, and play golf on Fridays.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Well, and I think in your business plan, you also have to make sure you make an allocation for your personal life.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all business. You know, our guest today is a wonderful family person, and I think we have to pay attention to that. One of our sections on this was how to stay in balance. Mm-hmm. I think your business plan has to account for you, the human, not just you, the big money collector. Mm-hmm. And my business plan is about date night with my wife. And homeschooling my children. And I'm never going to, you know, when we do our annual review, we go look forward. The first thing we look for are school events. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes in my calendar till the school events are accounted for. And then we put in vacation. That's the second thing that goes on my business plan. I'm in my business plan. And far too many people put down, I'm going to make $100,000 a year. I'm going to see 70 people a day. I'm going to do it 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. and I'm a beast, and I'll find a way where there isn't. Well, make the way that's correct for you and your family as well. So that's a message I'd like to say. Don't be crazy.
Yeah.
Make a business plan where you take care of you because you are all you've got.
There you go.
Good enough?
That's good stuff.
All right, man. Appreciate that. Well, Kenneth, I'm excited about our guest today. And Jen Duncan, welcome to Cash Flows.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
We are excited to have Jen here. Jen is a marketing strategist and a copywriter, and we're going to dig into what that is and how that can benefit you in a bit. You can find Jen Duncan at marketingwithmoxie.net. Moxie's M-O-X-I-E, for those of you that don't have Moxie. Actually, back in the day, there was a BMX bicycle by a company named Matthews called the Matthews Moxie, and that's where I learned to spell the word Moxie.
Nice.
And I have one of those bicycles in my garage, and then I subsequently bought that company.
There you go.
Yeah. So we love the word Moxie. It actually means something to me that's pretty special. And so Jen Duncan, marketingwithmoxie.net, and today we're going to talk about marketing and copywriting, but more importantly, we're going to get to know Jen. So Jen, we're going to start with this crazy bong group where you and I met.
Uh-huh.
And I think we met first at one of our new member copies, right?
Yes.
So that was 2-3 months ago or 4 months ago, maybe, actually. It's been a little while.
Yeah, I think it was sometime last summer or maybe like August.
And for the record, like, that much friendship equals old friends.
There you go.
Here at the Bond Group. And so what's your experience been with the Bond Group? I know you've met a lot of people and made friends, and then it turns out you and I know people. It's like been awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been incredible. I'm not a huge joiner. I'm the one who kind of like stays on the fringe a little bit and like looks to see what's going on.
What's our name for that? She's a lurker.
That's true.
I am. I'm a bit of a lurker at first.
Yeah, we call everybody lurkers. All right, keep going. I'm sorry.
And, you know, just to kind of get a feel for the place and see if I want to join in. And the feel that I got right away was I want to join in.
Yeah.
And I felt really comfortable. Everybody I've met has been super friendly, super collaborative, which is not something that's easy to find.
It's kind of rare.
And like this group is just everybody is super collaborative. There's no like, you know, mean-spirited competition going on or anything. We all refer to each other, and we all, you know, if somebody pops up with a question of, I'm looking for blank, does anybody do this?
Yeah.
And within half an hour, you'll have 30 comments of, you need to speak to this person, or, hey, I can help, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, and I like we had the same friend, Jillian Marina.
Yes.
And like, well, you guys already know each other? And, but then I found out you had just met here.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually just met a few weeks ago and, became fast friends. I don't think you can, like, meet Jillian and not become, like, her best friend right away.
Yeah, she's that person. I mean, I'm trying to say something. She's like a puppy.
And we mean that in the nicest way possible.
Wait a minute. My wife is going to punch me in the neck for saying that. But she is just lovely and wonderful. And, you know, the more we look around, I keep meeting people with whom I love to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'm glad you're making friends here.
Yeah, me too. And Jillian found out that, you know, I'm a little more introverted than most. And she's like, well, I'll fix that. You're coming too. Yeah. This and this and this. So see you there.
I'd known her 48 hours and I was cooking pancakes for her at my house. I'm like, what is happening here?
That's got to be like the ultimate salesperson right there. If they can talk you into that quick, right?
Yeah. Well, we were going to go to coffee and she's like, nah, I'm coming to your house. Okay.
We actually had the same conversation last week.
That's great. Well, there are so many great people here and we are honored, Kenneth, to be, you know, documenting.
Yeah.
You people that are out there being nice to each other.
Aww.
That's so weird. Anyway. Well, so you're a copywriter, you're a marketing expert. So how did you, how do you first gain a love of writing? Because I'm a writer, but I didn't love it till I was way into my adulthood. What about you? How did you start falling in love with writing?
Well, I'm the kid that loved writing to begin with. I was always writing stories, reading stories, telling my mom stories that she needed to write down. And when I got to college, had to choose what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to be an actress, wanted to be a lawyer, wanted to be this, wanted to be that. And I finally decided to study to be a missionary and Bible translator.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
And so I studied to go into, like, more of a tribal culture that didn't have a written language. Learn their language, learn their culture, learn their traditions through immersion, and then break down their language into a written language, reduce it to writing, teach it to them, to people who had no context for formal learning, and then work with them to translate the Bible, different references, different, you know, trade journals, their history, their traditions, you know, into writing and in a way that makes sense to them. You can't just, when you're working with languages, you can't just translate word for word.
Right.
Because different things mean different.
Right.
Yeah.
Like in different cultures. Like you can't, you know, translate Shakespeare to Japanese and just expect it to flow.
Right. Right.
And so there's kind of a saying of, you know, translating it not only into their written language, but into their heart language.
Mm. Got it.
And so that's what my husband and I trained to do. Well, when our son was little, he was very, very ill. And we ended up not being able to go overseas. He contracted SARS when he was like 5.
Oh, man.
And CDC and WHO kind of decided anyone who's had that needs to stay in the U.S. because we don't know.
Stay home.
Yeah. Well, we don't know lasting results of it.
Right.
So we ended up staying in the U.S. and I ended up teaching foreign languages and writing for about 10 years.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So were you're working, were you teaching English as a second language, or what kind of work were you doing there?
No, I was teaching in homeschool co-ops.
Oh, okay.
And I ended up teaching the languages that everybody was terrified of. So like Latin, Greek, Hebrew. I also taught Spanish. I've tutored in French and in a couple of other languages.
I mean, we hear that all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody here is multilingual.
Pretty standard, sure. We've heard that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love helping people understand how each other thinks.
Right.
Understanding how to connect.
So you translate then, but you've worked in the classroom. How does the translation skill that you have really work in the classroom? Because like my daughter, you mentioned something perfect, because both of my daughters have had to take Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad, why do we have to take Latin?
I'm like, yep.
Because I'm the dad, and I said so.
that was pretty much what I went with.
Yeah,
and they were not old enough to argue. But I mean, how does that work in the classroom? Because you're doing, I mean, that's the tough one.
It is. And how I taught those languages were more like learning a secret code that nobody else knows.
Ooh, okay.
And
so that sounds fun.
So that's fun. Like my son, when like kids would smart off to him in scouts because he was senior patrol leader, he would respond to them in Latin.
Ooh.
And things like, I'm the master of the universe and you are not.
Oh, that's what he was saying, but in Latin. Do you recall that phrase in Latin?
Magister mundi sum et non est.
Ooh.
Okay.
And, you know, things like that. But teaching them the thought processes, the culture, the, like, what's behind the language. And, you know, in doing that, they're learning grammar that applies to English grammar.
Right.
Because I don't know anybody who loves, you know, any kid who loves taking English grammar. But when they got to translation and, you know, like you think of Cicero and Caesar and they hated translating the like ancient, you know, things. I actually had one student that, you know, we were working through Caesar's Gallic Wars, and his comment was, you know, if the Senate had to read this, I can see why they knifed him.
It makes sense.
Yep.
You had it coming to him.
And so instead, I started having them translate scripture.
Okay.
And taught them the basics of exegesis, hermeneutics, of how to study and interpret and translate scripture.
So what was their starting point then? If they're interpreting scripture, where did they start? Was it the Greek Orthodox type?
I would start them out of the Vulgate, out of the Latin Vulgate. And I would start them with an easier grammatical text.
Right.
Like maybe John 1 or, you know, something like that. Like something that they're familiar with, that they then take it verse by verse. We talk through it. They like work through their translation, turn it in. And, you know, I'd give them any notes. And they would, by seeing it through one of the original languages, which is very picture based.
Right.
Instead of English, which is very definition based. You know, this is a table. This is a microphone.
So now they have a deeper understanding of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I my first Bible was the King James Version. I still have my original Bible from when I was about 6. Yep. And I still peek in at it from time to time and, like, I got nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You need some reference points, or you need some definition. It was hard for a kid to read.
Exactly. Well, that was written, like, concurrent with Shakespeare.
Right.
And the English language has changed somewhat in 400 years.
It has changed a bit.
And so, like, there are verses in the King James, like, be a hilarious giver.
Right.
What does that even mean? Yeah. Because hilarious means something very different now than it did 400 years ago.
Right.
It's to be joyful in
joyful,
giving.
Right.
Instead of, you know, rolling on the floor laughing.
Well, I wish I had known that all these years. I have really messed this up. Be a hilarious giver.
And so, but the translation would come in helping them learn how to put their thoughts into, you know, some into writing in a way that would make sense to other people.
Right.
And helping them connect.
Well, I think that's beautiful. And I love having, now I do love the Latin language now because you, mm-hmm. you begin to learn the origin of words.
Exactly.
And then you can see the, you know, like I love the word decide, and it's from the Greek word aside, meaning I think to give up or, mm-hmm. you know, and so once you decide, you've given up all the other options. And when you learn those origins, those words become more powerful.
Oh, they totally do.
And, you know, those words breathe life into things. And, you know, like I decided to go to lunch. Yeah, you went to lunch. But mm-hmm. when you decide something, that's a major thing in your life.
Well, like when you decided to marry Katie.
Oh, yeah, I decided the minute I met her.
There you go.
Okay, so and I did decide, like, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what her name is.
So you chose Katie and gave up anything else.
I did.
Gladly.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, when I realized I had a chance, like, there was no way I'm not going to mess that one up.
That's awesome.
Like, she has no eyesight, poor sense of smell. That is the perfect wife for me. So I'm what they call 20-foot sexy. Like, from 20 feet, I'm like, hey, Katie, how's it going? But, you know, that's why I don't let her get close to me. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure.
I'd like to point out that was Jen Duncan's segue, not mine.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Well, let's talk about copywriting and marketing and how you moved in that direction, because the world is becoming more entrepreneurial.
Definitely.
Maybe by necessity. I think COVID opened the world to more people realizing they could work from home.
Definitely.
And for some people, it showed opportunity. For some people, it showed agony because, you know, they're trying to, it was difficult, but I think more entrepreneurs have come around mm-hmm. and you're in this world where you serve entrepreneurs with marketing, copywriting, and I think you're also a great set of eyes on what they're putting out into the world. Would that be a good way to say it?
It is. Yeah. That's something that I really enjoy doing.
Right. Well, talk about how you got involved with that and turn that into a business.
Sure. Well, I started out, you know, as my son was getting ready to graduate our homeschool, you know, I'd like taken basically 10 years off from working
right.
to homeschooling, which I loved. And, you know, but I didn't want to be the homeschool mom that is like, oh, my child's graduating and my life is over and I don't know what to do. It was, no, he's getting to the phase where, you know, that's where he's supposed to be.
Right.
And now, you know, he doesn't need me with him every day. So
right.
now what am I going to do?
Right.
And so I started working. I became a department manager at a local bookstore. Actually helped a lot of homeschoolers. Like the bookstore sold homeschool curriculum.
Right.
And also like educational stuff. So I helped a lot of teachers, you know, find what they needed. But I was involved about 7 years ago in a like workers' comp accident I got nerve damage in my arm and like damage to my shoulder. And so I couldn't do the things that are needed in retail.
Right.
And so, you know, while I was recovering and going through the workers' comp settlement and blah, 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 I kind of figured out that I needed to do something else or right. I would lose my mind. So I got into blogging and, you know, became a VA and figured out that
VA is a
virtual assistant.
Virtual assistant. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And along the way, I found out that people will pay me to write.
Right.
And right. which is well, what I love right. to do anyway.
Right.
And so I just dove into, you know, marketing and copywriting and, you know, found what I love to do.
So define copywriting for our listeners.
Sure. Copywriting is basically anything in, you know, any sort of text. So it could be your website copy, your emails, okay. your blog posts, your social media copy, a sales page, Facebook or Google ads.
So it could also be like a biography that you put on your website.
Totally.
Okay.
You know, your biography, your about page, your service pages, and basically written in a way that connects with your readers.
Okay.
So what I do is I research who it is that you want to serve.
Right.
What are their pain points? What, where are they? What do they know they need? Because that's where you start.
Right.
You'd like a lot of people try to start with, well, like you're our financial advisor.
Right.
And if you started, you know, like when you came over and started with, this is what you need. So this is what we're going to do.
Oh, that would have gone bad.
Yeah. because you have so much more context for that.
Right.
And Paul and I would have been looking, my husband Paul and I would have been looking at you like, okay, bye.
Yeah. You know, how did you get in our house?
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
Yes.
And so instead you start with where your clients are, what they know they need, what they mm-hmm. know their pain points are, and then you bring them along in writing and design, you know, in like whatever it is you're putting out into the world, mm-hmm. To bring them to the point where they understand the solution that you offer and they realize they need it. So it's, but there are ways to do that very unethically.
Oh.
That are, you know, like fear-based or, you know, things like that, that, or like there are people out there that will just flat out lie about, you know, like, you'll lose 20 pounds next week or, you know, whatever. But there are also ways to do it very ethically. Right. And that's what I aim for, is to make sure that you're happy, your clients are happy, that it is a win-win situation for everybody. So it's connecting you as a business owner with the people who need you.
So you also work then with people like Jillian who does mm-hmm. marketing and. But what about other web developers who are creating the websites? Do you come alongside web developers? Because, I mean, we have several of those in the group that have done very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of them called me and went, hey, can you send me a bio? And I just talked it into my phone and hit send. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, 62. I didn't know what to put in there.
Yes. I work with web developers to, like, write the copy for the websites. And what I'll do is I'll write it in a way that they can then put into the design and coding of a website.
Got it.
But I wireframe it out in a way that they can then work with that brings the client through both a visual and a like mental flow.
So, and web developers are great at developing websites, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah.
they're not great copywriters.
Exactly. Like okay. I can't code to save my life. But
I don't even know what it means, so I'm pretty sure I can't either.
You know, but I love writing and I can see it in my head.
Right.
I can wireframe mm-hmm. out the flow of something, the visual flow of it, and mm-hmm. what should go where, how big it should be, whether it should be italic or bold, whatever.
So you know what the readers look. You can see it from the reader standpoint.
Exactly. And then I can put it in like a mock-up that they can work with.
Very cool. All right. Well, now I know what copywriting is.
Awesome.
Very cool. So you homeschooled your son.
I did.
We homeschooled our daughters about 80% of it.
Gotcha.
And I think a lot of people have a mental visual of what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're waking up at 8 o'clock and doing math problems on the wall. we apparently did none of those. What was that like, homeschooling your son?
It was a wild ride at first.
Yeah.
Like I'm a public school teacher's kid.
Okay.
And, you know, sent my son for like pre-K and kindergarten to like there. We lived in California at the time and there was an awesome private school right next to us that he loved. That was amazing. But then we moved. And so we found a school here in Tulsa that we thought would be just as amazing.
Right.
Well, he came home the first day of school, crying his eyes out, 6 years old, begging me to homeschool him.
Wow.
And, you know, my reaction was, whose child are you? He's like, I'm yours. Homeschool me, please.
Wow.
Okay. And so the next day I went and, you know, I offered to tear out all the workbook pages for the teacher, for all the students' workbooks. I'm a teacher's kid, so
right.
I've done that since I was like 8. And I found that he had already learned everything 2 years previous.
Wow.
Just the schools were just on a different scope and sequence. And the teacher told me that he was a severe problem child. He will be medicated if he's to remain in her classroom. He was just bored.
Right.
And so I researched homeschooling in Oklahoma over the weekend, pulled out every book from the library I could find because we'd come from California where
right.
the laws are a lot stricter.
Right.
And the like following Monday, I sent him to school, taught him how to daydream without getting caught. And while I went and bought curriculum and, you know, got everything I thought we needed. And at the end of the day, I pulled him out and we kind of never looked back.
That is awesome.
And that first year, I think we went through three full curriculums. My husband told me if we were going to continue homeschooling, I'd have to go back to work to pay for it. and so, you know, got involved in a local group and found out what I was actually supposed to do and that it doesn't have to look like classroom school.
That's one of the things great about homeschooling. It's also a collaboration. And you start to meet people and they just want you to succeed.
Totally. Tulsa is such a great place for that. Oklahoma is a great place for that.
Yeah, it really is.
But as, you know, as he grew, he was allowed to grow into who he was supposed to be.
Right.
Rather than who his classmates thought he was supposed to be or his teachers or the system.
Yeah, growth without coercion.
Exactly.
Is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Okay. We're going to hear from one of our studio sponsors today. Mr. Kenneth, who do we have?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our episode today is sponsored by the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Wait, this can't be right. Hang on, let's try this again. Who's writing our copy around here anyway? We need a new one. Okay, here we go. Hey, listeners, before we dive back into today's episode, we've got a special shout out to our amazing sponsors. This podcast is coming to you from the studio at Elevate Coworking, signage provided by CM Customs, and the show features amazing entrepreneurs from the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group. We're sponsored by MFP, My Financial Plan, on the World Wide Web at joinmfp.com, and the show's produced by the audio-video experts at Kenneth Bauckham Photography. With these sponsors at top of mind, let's return to cash flows already in progress.
All right, we're here today with Jen Duncan, and Jen is a marketing strategist and copywriter. We just learned the definition of copywriter. She's also a homeschool mom, was a teacher, a translator, she's done a lot of things. And she has a website you can find her on, marketingwithmoxie.net. Moxie is M-O-X-I-E, for those that don't know. Marketingwithmoxie.net to find out more about Jen Duncan. Jen, we're going to carry on here. We're talking a little bit about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
You're busy with your business. You're a wife. You're involved in the community. What do you do for fun?
I work. I'm kind of one of those people that I have my work day, but then when inspiration hits, I'm at the computer typing out whatever the idea is, or I'm jotting it down or putting a note in my phone. But when I'm not doing that, I am hanging out with my husband and son. He's 26 now. And aside from that, I'm involved in we're all involved in a local martial arts ministry called ABKA, American Bushido Kai Association.
Wow. All right.
And it's actually a global ministry that uses martial arts as like a connection point.
What a great idea.
It's incredible. He's my son is a co-chief instructor at a local dojo. There's probably 8 ABK dojos just in the Tulsa area.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yep. And so he teaches at a couple of those. He's gotten to go like around the world and on different trips. So it serves people in Africa, in Asia, in Mexico, Central and South America, you know, different parts of the U.S., so all over the place.
Did you have any idea that that existed?
No, not at all, but it sounds like a kicking good time.
It is.
Really? The entire internet available, that's what you came up with.
That's what I have. Well, I didn't consult the internet for that one.
You just made that up
tried real hard. Okay. You can probably smell the wires burning already.
All right, let's get back to business for a second.
Sure.
A lot of us are entrepreneurs. We've been through something.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite stories are, you know, about the challenges that you've had in front of you, because challenges don't always hit you from where you think they're going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
They are vast. What are some of the kinds of challenges that you've had to deal with, and how do you deal with them? How do you overcome those?
The ones that I've had to deal with they usually come from my own overthinking.
Oh, okay.
I like to do that. You know, part of being a copywriter and part of marketing is examining every angle of things. And when you're doing that with your own business, like you do it times 10 times 100.
Right.
And sometimes it's easy to just get lost in the weeds.
Yeah.
And I love helping other business owners do that because I can immediately see the patterns and see what needs to be done, what's not working, what's working.
Wait, you see the patterns because you've lived them?
Because I've lived them, and I see them because
how you've you've overcome them though.
A lot of them I've overcome, and some of them, just I'm far enough away
okay.
that I can look at the whole thing.
So, I think that's a great topic is overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so many
I'm a master at it.
Oh yeah, I've got a PhD at that. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, one of the things they do wrong is how they think.
Mm-hmm.
And often they think about what they believe they aren't rather than what they are. Did I say that in a way that made sense?
Very much so. It's so easy to overthink how you what your message should be, how you want to portray that. Should I be quirky? Should I be funny? Do I have to be very professional and stuffy?
Right.
Do I have to be perfect? No.
Oh, no.
Nobody's going to hire you because you're perfect.
Right.
Because if you're perfect, you're not real. None of us are perfect.
Right. And nobody wants to be around perfect people.
That's not really.
Right. Yeah.
And, so the things that I've overcome, and I usually do this by, a friend or my son coming in, sort of metaphorically knocking me upside the head and just going, oh, my gosh, get over it and do it.
Right. So to that degree, you're also coaching entrepreneurs as you develop marketing strategy and copywriting.
Yes.
So there's a bit of coaching where you have to kind of give them, you said knocking you upside the head, but we'll call it a spirited conversation or a gentle nudge.
Gentle nudge.
Jen Duncan, the queen of the gentle nudge,
also
known as a karate chop to the head.
Hey, there you go.
Whichever one is necessary. And I usually ask which they prefer.
Okay, that's all.
I mean, some people have told me, they're just like, be blunt, just tell me, and I'll do it.
Thing.
And
yeah.
Some people are like, no, I need an explanation, and just ease me along.
Yeah. Do you want compliments or results?
Exactly. Mm. And, I'm like, I can get you vanity numbers. I can get you crazy people calling you all day. That's easy to do.
Yeah, that part's easy.
but getting you the right people, getting you the right strategy, the right tactics at the right time, that's a little tougher. And to do that, we have to dig in and, try a few things. Not all of them are going to work, but that will point us to what will work.
All right. Well, you had mentioned earlier that you do SEO and that you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not phrases I've heard together.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an SEO geek.
What are you doing this week? Yeah, I'm going to do a little SEO.
Oh, yeah.
You going to watch the game? Nah, I'm doing some search engine optimization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Click here, click there.
Okay, talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. I'm one of those odd people that will actually sit down and do a webinar on SEO, for fun. I'll just carve out an hour or two. I will be the one digging into all the research, all of the, what everybody's saying and figuring out what's actually working, what's not. And then digging down into numbers to see what's working. And I love making all the puzzle pieces come together. And I know that's a little weird and I probably need to get out more, but it is actually something I find fun. It's something I'm a little competitive with.
Got it. Well, nice. I mean, I'm glad we have people out there doing those things.
Yeah.
You want to watch a SEO thing with me tonight?
Yeah, we can do that.
I'll make some popcorn. And
that sounds like a kicking game. We get kicks on Route 66.
We'll have
there.
An SEO fest at the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll SEO there.
Oh, thank you. I'll SEO you there. Okay. You're on the verge of funny.
It's pretty close. It's getting closer.
You're right in there. All right. So what are some fun facts that people don't know or would like to know about Jen Duncan?
Let's see. I have studied 8 languages and tutored or taught 6 of them.
That's fun.
So, let's see. I spent about 5 years being a speaker at homeschool conventions across the country.
Ooh.
And it got to where we were in a different time zone every weekend. And where my son, he was probably 9 at the time, if we weren't traveling, he didn't believe us.
Right.
Where are we going to be next week? At home? No, we're not. Where are we going? No, really. Where? Why? What canceled? So, and the third one, I love doing one-on-ones or small group. I love talking to people.
You're good at it. Well, I mean, it's what we're doing here.
Thank you. But I am actually a huge introvert, and I'm a little awkward in large groups. So if you see me in a large group and I'm like, you know, let's do a one-on-one, and I'll come live.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're at to that point of our show where we're going to get a golden nugget from Jen Duncan. We're here with Jen Duncan today. She is a marketing strategist and a copywriter. You can find Jen at marketingwithmoxie.net. And you can find her on Facebook, also in the Business Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group.
Yep.
And you can find her on MySpace.
Possibly.
No, I don't think.
I just missed MySpace.
You just missed MySpace. All right. We're trying to cover all the gaps, you know, as the marketing gurus that Kenneth and I are.
That's right.
So, Jen, give us a golden nugget that our business owners and friends out there will enjoy.
Sure. My top piece of advice, don't be afraid to be yourself. And this is something that is hard for almost all of us. But people don't hire you because you're perfect. They don't hire you because you have the perfect Instagram life. They hire you because of the perspective and the experience and the skills that you bring, because of the personality that you bring. That's what they want to connect with. And today in marketing, in business, in every area of life, connection is more important than really ever. You know, we've already gone through like not being able to connect.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are tired of the fake. They're tired of the sales pitch. They just want to connect. So don't be afraid to do that.
You know, I appreciate those words more than anything. I think that's the essence of what our bond group is, is people like you coming in, being willing to connect, even though you have a little anxiety. But you're out there with the people. And I've always told people, Kenneth, and, you know, as I've done sales training in my industry, and people want very technical stuff or in the old days, I just say, like, just go see the people.
Yeah.
STP, see the people, be among the people. You know, don't be afraid to mess it up, but be yourself.
Yes.
What a great message coming today from Jen Duncan. We're here today with Jen Duncan, marketing strategist and copywriter. You can find Jen at marketingwithmoxie.net or on Facebook in the Tulsa Bong Group. And Jen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
This was awesome. So that's going to be a wrap. We're going to wrap this thing up. Please don't start rapping over there.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I've seen you do that.
I don't have to rap, but I can beatbox for you. You can rap.
We'll see what you got.
I mean, after all, cash flows.
Okay. I actually sort of like that. Okay, you closed with a winner, man. That's finishing strong. Hey, so we're going to wrap it up today. We are thankful for Jen Duncan being here today, for our sponsors. We're thankful that you're here today as well. It's a crazy world out there and trying to keep it all together. And life is a collaboration. And my visual in my brain is we're all just arm in arm walking each other home. And wouldn't it be nice if we could be nice? And I think that's actually, Kenneth, our message here at Cash Flows. Let's be nice to each other. Make good decisions for you and your family. And here's one that I think you'll find value in today. Wouldn't it be great if you forgave somebody that absolutely did not deserve it? Because forgiveness is not about that other person. It is about you and letting go of those chains that you've dragged yourself down with. Forgiveness is about freedom for you. And after all, aren't we all forgiven in a unique way? And we enjoy that as well. So to our friends out there listening and clicking and liking and sharing, thank you so very much. And remember, this show is about you. Thanks for being part of Cash Flows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.